Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And, excuse me, welcome back. I had all that time to prepare. I know I have a frog, and so I typically have to do that, but this pneumonia doesn't necessarily help very much. Anywho, I hope you know that you are listening to the only show that is going to dive into the academic-based solutions. We're going to actually prove academically how this problem's occurred and what the problem really is. The problem has everything to do with the federal government non-compliance, their non-compliance to the Constitution, or their failing to comply to the Constitution. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416, and we would hope that if you have a question, if you have a comment, by all means call. I actually got a phone call the other day from somebody, but it was really down into the weeds on something else, and it really wasn't about the show or Republic. Because that article that Trevor Lawton read, and I haven't even had the time to get it up onto the internet yet, but if you go to the Epoch Times, and like many of you actually have a subscription to Epoch Times because they find it to be a good, reliable news source. Well, okay. And that's fine. I don't subscribe to anything like that. That's okay, though, because I have my blinders on. I know. You don't have to tell me tomorrow that there's no sign that the federal government is going to comply to the Constitution. You don't have to tell me that. I already know they won't be. I already know we have to move forward with what we have to do. There may be, tragic things happening all around the world. We know that the federal government's going to continue, and we're actually, what we're hearing, we're actually responding. As we told you yesterday, Bob Schultz, the We the People Foundation, will be doing a petition. This is coming up. So, let me just kind of move forward and give you what I think is the important stuff for today. Copeland. So, a lot of people have been asking me about the music and so forth. If you understand the source and actually the origins of Fanfare for the Common Man, go Google it, look at Wikipedia. You will find that the socialist vice president at the time that was working for Franklin Delano Roosevelt was looking for using a majestic piece of music that he commissioned Copeland to write, so that they could inspire people in joining the collectivist movement. Well, I believe the turnabout's great. And, if you can actually turn the tables on them, then let's do it. Let's use their song. Copeland was an American composer. And Copeland, I don't know if he was really that progressive or not. There's a lot of people that were just completely dumbfounded and ignorant. I found that my grandparents were completely ignorant regarding the Constitution, and my father only knew so much, or so many things are available, so that you can only know so much. And it's the same thing with what I'm running into with people who claim to be, I'm using the air quotes here, constitutional, or understanding the Constitution. There are way too many people that don't know and have never read the ratification debates. And I'm going, well, okay, so you're going to tell me about the Constitution? Not that I'm arrogant, but bottom line, you can't understand the Constitution. It's like you can't understand the Ten Commandments unless you've read the New Testament and the Old Testament, period. And so if you're telling me that you've read all the Federalist Papers, that's not the New Testament to the Constitution. The ratification debates are, period. I mean, they're interesting, they're insightful, but they have no legal standing, and there's all of these other things that are out there and there's a reason. So I actually had this conversation with a great patriot that we're working with the National Liberty Alliance out of Montana, Dan, and bottom line, come on, when you really look at what the ratification debates are and what they how they went through it, they went Massachusetts went through it line by line. Virginia tried to go through it line by line. North Carolina tried to go through it line by line, and they went down these rat holes each time, but period. They went through the entire document. You're telling me, as they argued back and forth, and those people that went to the Constitutional Convention and provided the clarity, just because it wasn't James Madison, and by the way, the Federalist Papers, half of them was written by Alexander Hamilton, who basically spoke out of both sides of his mouth. As soon as the Constitution was ratified, Alexander Hamilton had his own agenda in aggrandizing federal government and making insinuations that implied powers existed. Where the fact is, when Madison was president and Congress tried to insinuate that there were implied powers in creating the Department of Transportation under these other powers, no, Madison wasn't going to have any of it. Monroe didn't have any of it. We've proven this to you. There are no such things as implied powers. Either they're enumerated or they're not. And as a matter of fact, when they try to create these links, well, because of this, 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 and this, well, then we think that that implies, and just like I said yesterday, that you will find justices that will actually take far reaches in using the Bill of Rights or some part of the Constitution to open a portal for them to grant them jurisdiction over life, as we have seen over the Blackmun and the Roe v. Wade, where he basically said, well, we think the Bill of Rights guarantees people a right of privacy, where it doesn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, as I clearly stated, the Bill of Rights are very specific limitations, even if, you've got to understand, that even if it is not mentioned in the Bill of Rights, remember that the Constitution was ratified by enumerated powers only. They didn't have a Bill of Rights, and the states still ratified it. Excuse me. The reason why they actually created a Bill of Rights is because the states felt that they needed to have these very declaratory statements added to ensure that these things would not be infringed upon. Okay. Well, does that grant the federal government general powers? Not at all. You still have an enumerated constitution that delegates only these powers. So if you want to call the Bill of Rights superstitious, well, then okay, there you go. But the fact of the matter is, I have always said that the Bill of Rights played no purpose, none, until the 14th Amendment. You can't find, excuse me, you can't find historically a really, really strong reason why we had to have the Bill of Rights. Now, we do know the Alien and Sedition Acts and those types of things, but that wasn't really a strong, strong reason for the Bill of Rights compared to the magnitude of the 14th Amendment and what was happening at the state level when they were trying to suppress. I mean, if they could have gotten away with it, they would have probably... these, and they were probably all Democrats, by the way, because Democrats have always been, and if you look at the history of the Democrats, you'll find that the Democratic Party has always been in favor of slavery, and as a matter of fact, I think the guy's name was George Fitzhugh, and I'm not good with names, you know that, but I believe the guy's name was George Fitzhugh, who actually was a huge advocate that everybody should be slaves. White, though, if you don't have money, and you're not in a position of, you know, owning capital in a plantation or owning a factory or what have you, and you are a laborer, then you should be a slave because you'll be treated and taken care of better. I mean, if you read what George Fitzhugh was saying regarding socialism and slavery, it was just like, wow, this guy was in America. He was in the South. He was a Democrat. Fact is that when you look at the history of how the Democrats have functioned, they have functioned with the compelling of people to do things. I mean, that's their MO. The Republicans started taking on, and when I say the Republicans, you got to remember that the Republicans were founded under Madison and Jefferson. Over time, they kind of bled into what happened with Lincoln. I mean, supposedly Lincoln was the one that resurrected the Republican Party, or many people claim that he created it. No. Madison and Jefferson created it, and I can prove that to you, but nevertheless, if you go read Jefferson's first inaugural address, he will prove it to you. He will tell you that we're all Republicans, we're all Federalists. He was identifying the two parties of the time. He didn't say Democrat. And so many people believe that Jefferson and Madison created the Democratic Party. Here to tell you, that didn't happen. Anyway, where was I going with this? So the fact of the matter is, when you start looking at the Bill of Rights and slavery and everything else, what the South was doing, we had to apply these protections at the state level. So it was divine providence, if you want to call it that. But as far as I believe, I believe that the Lord, only the Lord knew we would need these Bill of Rights later, and even later and later, because it didn't take too long once the 14th Amendment was passed, where both governments started trying to get more and more wiggle room in usurping the power of the people and usurping the power of the states. And so they kind of worked together, you let the parties take over. I mean, we started really going downhill after the Civil War and after the ratification of the 14th Amendment and so forth. We really started going down that path. Anyway, when we come back, what I want to do is I want to give you a little bit more insight, because we will be playing the Dr. Vile interview. And he's a good man, and we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so anyway, I really want to get through this intro, and I start going down these rat holes, but I do want to talk a little bit more detail regarding Dr. Vile. So I met Dr. Vile right after I published my first book. As a matter of fact, he was one of the first purchasers, and I actually keep track of who owns my book. And that's because I just don't take it around and sell it and what have you. I mean, so if you buy it from Amazon, then I find out about it. And I even found out when a good friend of mine, because most people who buy this book, they don't necessarily get rid of it or what have you. I mean, Because I sign it. I put your name in it, so good luck trying to sell it. Well, what ended up happening was a good friend of mine, a patriot, fellow Marine who died of cancer, but prior to his death, I'd had published the book, and I signed it to him, and he was in the intelligence community as well. Good guy, and his wife, at his death, basically didn't have the resources to maintain the house and everything else because, of obviously, he was a Marine, wasn't an executive that had all of these insurance plans and everything else. So anyway, she ended up selling that book, and I happened to meet the guy that says, hey, I bought your book, and but it was signed to some guy by the name of John. And I asked him, you know, because there's only a couple of Johns that have my book, and I kind of mentioned, you know, what I said in that, and he goes, yeah, yeah. And I go, okay, so that's the book I gave to a Marine friend of mine that actually passed away from cancer a couple years afterwards. And he goes, oh, wow. So now it has more sentimental value to him. And he goes, would you sign it? And I go, I kind of have. And he goes, okay, because he bought it on the used market. And it's not that I'm trying to make another sale, but I go, you know, let that, you know, be your, because what I said in that was equally applicable to him, even though it was to John. So anyway, but he didn't have it with him, but anyway, he said, hey, would you mind signing it? And that's what I said. I really already did. So if you do buy my book, if you buy the physical book, I do sign all of them. And I do take record of actually who has them. So that way, you know, if they show up somehow, because I'm not looking to sell millions of these things. I'm just trying to help people get a better, you know, view, a better macro view of the history of liberty and how we got here and where we need to go. The third book was written a while ago, and then I derailed that, and I probably need to rewrite that now that we've got, you know, COVID and all of these other things. But the third book, Reclaiming the Republic, actually was written, and instead of publishing it, I actually just put online, you know, the distilled process of the Republic review process as well as the argument and all of those types of details. And the only thing I didn't get into was the architecture that the states need to use so that they can have isolated, autonomous communications with each other in speaking so that Big Brother won't be able to, you know, listen, or the Chinese or anybody else. Because right now, their comms are open, and they are easily susceptible to hacking and that type of stuff. But anyway, Dr. Vile reached out to me, and he bought my book, and I kept in contact with him. And come to find out, he was writing a book at the time, and the name of his book was Conventional Wisdom, The Alternate Article 5 Mechanism for Proposing Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. And this book was really more about the Article 5 Convention and the Convention of States than it was about Republic Review. But he happened to mention me because I actually had a different view and a different process. He mislabeled me as a Calhoun, or like old Calhoun, that believed in nullification and the perverted process of nullification. And so over time, he started recognizing that, oh, you know what? What you're doing is different, and that actually happened in those in that conversation, that interview that we'll be playing. And I think it's kind of interesting how we kind of go down this, you know, this path, hitting all these different rat holes. But my intent was to get him into a position where he would say one way or the other, because as I stated in my previous episode, that Dr. Vile is the epitome of an academic and does not like telling people what he thinks or what he would support or what have you. But I finally got him to finally say, well, would you support Republic Review? And he came right out and said, I would rather support a convention of states, as I basically told you. So it's worth the trip. It's worth the time listening because of how we talk about and what we talk about. So I will be throwing that to you so that you can get a little snapshot, because I believe those interviews were back in 2016, 2017. Yeah, it was probably 2017 time frame, because I think I interviewed him two or three times. Anyway, what we want to do is remind you that there will be the Red Pill Expo in Rapid City, South Dakota, June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Hope to see you there. I hope to be there. And as soon as I know, the problem is with the surgery I'm going to be having, I don't know if I'll be fully up to traveling and being able to do this. So bottom line, I'm more committed to my health. And I hope that helps give you a relief to say, wow, at least, you know, GR wants to be here to see all of this to fruition. I'm not going to be throwing caution to the wind, because I want to make sure we actually hit the target, because it's that important. So anyway, let me kind of dive forward into the need-to-know news. We kind of covered some stuff. And as a matter of fact, what we had just covered in our last episode was this new deployment of Chinese cameras. And the fact is that these are happening all over in America. And I want you to start getting tuned into the fact that, you know, those cameras may be going up by the businesses, they may be going up by city or what have you. When the federal government brings in the board, if they get their way and they actually take over every aspect of our lives, we will be living in the same lifestyle as the Chinese, if not ran by the Chinese. Because, I mean, if you really listen to some of these people and the evidence that they're providing how China wants America, you have to understand, China recognizes what America has as a resource, just like Germany recognized that some of its neighboring countries had much better, more fertile land and more agricultural capabilities, and that's why they annexed that stuff back in World War II. I mean, if you ever saw a Mel Brooks movie, it was about World War II. I think he basically, you know, quoted Hitler saying, "I want peace. I want a piece of Italy and a piece of France." And so that was the kind of peace he was talking about. Anyway, done with the humor. Let me just move in to this next one. This being said, there are those Christians that actually embrace communism. I just saw a post on social media that actually has this conservative organization that is supporting and asking conservatives to please ask Congress to pass this Family Leave Act so that it becomes a federal requirement that every state and every employer offers, you know, family leave when they have a birth in the family or when they have an adoption or what have you. And I had to comment and say, are you kidding me? This is not an enumerated power. This is unconstitutional. The federal government has no place, no business in labor or in being involved in business at all, period. The Commerce Clause doesn't even let them regulate business to this degree. It didn't even let them regulate the Department of Transportation, highways and roadways in between the states, which they've used the Commerce Clause for. If you understand, if you can't use the Commerce Clause to create the Department of Transportation, you can't use the Commerce Clause to start usurping labor and other things that are not enumerated like businesses in the Constitution, period. So, anyway, G. Edward Griffin reports that there's this pastor, and I don't know who this guy is, but I need to reach out to him. His name's Rick Wiles, and he says he may run for president in 2024 on the populist platform of breaking up big tech companies and giving the wealth of the billionaires to the poor. Wiles argues against the economic power of billionaires and said, "When you use your money and power to change my life, to take away my rights and try to force things on me that I object, then I find moral and I find it morally repulsive when you try to restrict my free speech, when you try to promote population control, you want to pump vaccines into my body, when you want to change society, you know what?" And he goes on and says, "You're my enemy," Wiles declared. The only way you're able to do it is because you are a billionaire. So then, if we need to take away your billions, then we will. And Edward G. Edward Griffin kind of gives you some analysis. If you think taking money from the rich and giving it to the poor is a good idea, then you have bought into the prime slogan of socialism and communism. It's a bad idea, even if it is directed against someone you dislike. Why? Because you are, you know, one of the hundreds of millions of people in the world who consider you to be rich, and you will be next. How about just throwing these psychopaths in prison and forcing them to give back their stolen money to those whom they stole it? Anyway, he goes on to the Group A, Group B, and so forth, and I agree with G. Edward Griffin, and I have something to add, and we will add this when we come back. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so with that, let me just basically say this. This is why we want to reach out to, I believe, this pastor, Pastor Wiles, because maybe this is, you know, I understand most people, they gravitate towards, you know, doing something like this. However, I'm here to tell you that we have to be on guard of making sure that we keep the federal government and keep all of our government within the enumerated powers. And clearly, they don't have the ability to do this. But we do have the ability to go after these tech companies and these billionaires that are making revenue that are not reporting it, because the internet is considered the wild, wild west. Well, we all know that they've been making bank. And as a matter of fact, I believe states, because they have laws that state that you're supposed, if you make revenue in their state, even if you're not physically there, but you are making revenue in the state, if you're sitting at your computer and you click on a link and they make money because you just clicked on that link and you're sitting in your state, oh, by the way, because your IP address identifies your physical address of where you are, then they should be reporting that revenue. But they don't want to, because they're making billions off of all of us as they manipulate us and they use us as pawns. So this is why he needs to look at the fact that these people would not be billionaires and these companies wouldn't be where they are if we and the government didn't, if we would hold them accountable and the government didn't go into collusion with them, because the federal government has been colluding with Amazon and many of these companies, with Google and so forth. And they're all giggling and laughing at the fact that they're making money in all 50 states and we're not doing anything about it. So, what are you going to do about it? You need to call your representative if they're looking to try to, you know, create regulations regarding big tech or trying to, you know, create censorship or some controls. Bottom line, you need to actually call them and say, why don't you tax them first? Let's start bringing in revenue first and actually tax them in a manner, because Rob Chase in the Washington State Legislature, because I've talked to him, and he actually did the research. God bless Rob. But I told him he could do this, and as he started looking at it, he goes, wow, he's looking at bringing in something like $200 million in taxes from the big tech that doesn't have any presence. And that's just basically from Google, because Amazon already has presence in Washington State. Google, Facebook, and I think maybe Twitter. That's only the tip of the iceberg. Look at all of the other companies that are making money in advertising and by the clicks and everything else, that it could easily expand to where maybe $500 million total if the states were actually being paid on the revenue that these companies are making from your citizens clicking on links because they, you know, they're looking to buy something. Well, doesn't care. I mean, Google doesn't care because they're promoting Amazon, and you click on Amazon, Google just made money. There you go. We need to start taxing that. You want to actually humble these folks, then all of a sudden you hit them, because this can be retroactive. When all of a sudden the state legislatures understand that Google has been making money and not reporting it in their state, they can say, you know what, we believe that you've made this much over this time period, and because you haven't reported it, we're going to fine you. We've already gone into these several times before, but this is important. We know that Google and these tech companies are our enemy. We know this. Why don't we hold them accountable and make them pay their fair share of taxes like every other business that happens to be operating in the real world? Even though they're hiding in a virtual world, they're just as real, and they're making just as real money. It's not virtual money, it's real money. Anyway, what's it going to take to get you involved, folks? Anyway, G. Edward Griffin on March 2nd reported that the Montana House of Representatives nearly passed a bill that would have allowed the state to regulate social media infringements on freedom of speech. Companies such as Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter have been subjected to oversight and scrutiny by the Montana Public Service Commission that already regulates public utilities, railroads, energy companies, and other key industries. The measure failed by one vote. And they're actually trying to go after this, and they're trying to resurrect this, and I'm actually engaged in this conversation as we speak. Anyway, Public Service Commissioner Randall Pinocchi was outraged that some rhino Republicans joined the Democrats to kill the bill by a single vote. He said that the bill was not introduced just to help Montana, but to set a precedent for other states as well. There is still a possibility of reintroducing the bill in a slightly different way for the Montana Senate. And so that's what we're trying to do. So I need to reach out to these folks, and I need to get them to focus first and foremost that before they actually go after this, they need to go after the taxes. Let the tax actually pay for all of these commissions and pay for more of the government, because that's how much money these tech companies are making, even off of Montana. If you look, I mean, Washington State may have I think we might have five or six representatives. They only have one. And so Washington State may have, I'm going to guess, let's just say six times, you know, the population that Montana has. If that's correct, I'm just guessing. And if Washington State is going to make $200 million, well, divide that by six, right? that's still a lot of money that Montana would bring in that they wouldn't have to tax their people for. That would be a lot of relief for their taxpayers. Come on, folks. What's it going to take? We have to start doing the due diligence and making, you know, taxes are necessary, but they shouldn't be always focused on taxing the people. Why is it that they go to the people? Because you have no protection. This is the same thing with the stupid mortgage fraud or title fraud or deed fraud or whatever Bill O'Reilly and now Newt Gingrich is advertising. Are you kidding? Why is it that states aren't passing laws that say, you know, the deed may be available for somebody to steal, but the homeowner should never be liable? That if somebody comes along and says, we're kicking you out of your home, you have to prove that they actually committed the fraud. If they didn't commit the fraud, then the bank or whoever's coming after them to say, you got to move, just swallowed the big pill that said, oh, we were duped by frauds. There's no reason why banks should ever be able to kick you out of your home. And you need to talk to your lawmakers about this because for some reason, the lawmakers are protecting businesses but not the people. And this company, Title Fraud or whatever the name of this company is that started out, they're making money off your fear because they know that your legislator is not going to protect you unless you do something about it. And we need to shut down this whole insurance fraud. Anybody that commits some type of identity theft and fraud like this, we need to actually hold those people that are giving these people the money, you know, more, I want to see more restrictions. The best way to put this is the banks have to, they're holding the bag. We don't care. That makes them actually have to do the due diligence to prove. And as a matter of fact, if I was a bank and I was going to lend money to somebody and you're buying the house and you're, and this is a real buying transaction because 9 times out of 10, these deeds, I'm going to, forgive me for going down this rat hole, but these deeds are typically second mortgages. Somebody that is taking their own home and supposedly selling it, the bank should actually send a representative to that home to say, okay, are you the seller or the buyer? And if the person says, what are you talking about? You know, and leave a note. Get in contact with the person at that physical address because 9 times out of 10, you're already still living in your home when this is happening. We have to stop how America and the people are being fleeced by both government, corporations, and everybody. They're stealing our wealth and our future and our government, our local state government. They're obligated. They're supposed to be protecting us, period. Anyway, this next story, G. Edward Griffin, the FBI collected thousands of phone and electronic records of those at the Capitol on January 6th. So how did they do this? Well, hey, guess what? If you have your phone and it's on, they have the ability to pick up who you are and be able to actually track everything you do because they have these abilities. I forget the technology, but they have the ability to look at your texts and everything that you're putting up on social media. They have the ability. This is what intelligence has gotten to. And so anybody and every, you go to some organization, do not use your phone. Or I should say you go to, you know, an event like something like this. Don't be stupid and take your phone. Don't. Because they know you are there. And so the best thing you can do is if you got to take your phone and you're not going to be the troublemaker, okay, great. Don't have any unnecessary conversations and just have your phone off. Power it off. Take the battery out. Just be black. Be silent. Go off the grid while you're in there. Anyway, so including some belongings to members of Congress, the FBI relied on emergency orders The FBI relied on emergency orders that do not require court authorization to secure communications from people at the scene. Because they believe that this is a dynamic thing and they have the ability, law enforcement has this ability as well. They also obtained information about cell phone towers and so forth. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
So, you know, I was just rushing a little bit. So, in other words, the FBI actually obtained the information from the telecom providers, the cell phone towers, and so forth, and they believe that there are going to be many felony indictments coming. And so, if you were there and you happened to be putting on, and I know some people from Wyoming that were chattering and so forth, folks, quit putting out your stuff. I mean, if you didn't hear about the teachers union and how the California or the Los Angeles teachers union had a bunch of teachers out of country on, you know, a great, beautiful, tropical, you know, spring vacation or what have you, wherever they went. And that hit social media and those pictures leaked that the teachers union was actually exposing. So when you are doing bad things, it's great that you put it out on social media. But when you're doing something that is a good thing, like supporting the Constitution, you know, just use your head. Because I'm telling you right now, you are the enemy. I am the enemy as far as the government sees us. Because we want the Constitution to be complied to. And they know what that means. Because they know they're not in compliance. Well, they don't want to be held accountable. Heck, that's not right. Well, it's not right that they're allowed to violate their oaths and violate the Constitution. As a matter of fact, it is the supreme law of the land. And so this is how we have to start taking back the country. But we have to take it back one county at a time as well as state at a time. Now, there's some states that we can take. We should just be able to take these states back. It's that simple. Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, most of these red states, we should just be able to take them back. Anyway, the national indoctrination system is a perfect example of those who are wired to the dark side of the scale of liberty. And this next G. Edward Griffin story just proves this. Chris Rufo reports that Buffalo, New York is a dying industrial town with an underperforming school system and rates high on failures among racial minorities. In fifth grade, Only 18% of the students are proficient in math and only 20% proficient in English. One-third failed to graduate from high school. In response to school administrators, have not tried to improve the academic achievements at all. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that if you look at the curriculum, you look at Common Core, it's not designed to improve your math. It's not designed to improve your thinking and your abilities to actually, you know, learn something. You are being indoctrinated and conditioned to do things, not learn. And as a matter of fact, this is a crime against society. Our national indoctrination system is being proven as one of our biggest problems. I would honestly say that almost everything that they're doing in the social engineering era is, you know, a huge assistance in, you know, the path we're going and the fact that we're in the grasp of this, help me out here, this global communist takeover, bottom line. And you know this. So moving on, he says, but these schools that are failing in the academics have launched an anti-racist training program for teachers and a curriculum for students that promotes Black Lives Matter. The indoctrination begins in kindergarten with a video that dramatizes dead Black children speaking to them from beyond the grave about the dangers of being killed by racist police and state-sanctioned violence. These are quotes here. By fifth grade, students are taught that America has 1 million Black people locked in cages. In later grades, the curriculum proposes that white students must atone for their white privilege. Folks, what's it going to take? If they're actually doing this and they're getting away with this in upstate New York, Buffalo, New York, that is in the liberal throes, come on. You have to understand that we're on very, very dangerous grounds. We don't have a lot of time. And the Biden administration, we're doing everything we can with these petitions just to engage them so that they know that we know that what they're doing is wrong and a violation of the Constitution, and we're going after them for that. We need your help to get the states to do the same. Now, I'm in contact with a few of the state legislators and many, you know, in other states and so forth, but that's just not enough. We don't have enough movement. We need you to become a part of the solution and actually help us. And basically, I'm looking for people to do what I'm doing, to be able to walk in and say, you already possess the power, state. The good state of whatever it is, followed by, you know, this one little comment that you possess the power over that Constitution. We will educate you. Read the documents. Read our articles on the Constitutional article page. We actually pull it right out of the, and if you notice, I cite the ratification debates of these things. I give you the academic evidence necessary. And we will even give you more. And we will help you. We will help you with whatever you need or you fall short in. As a matter of fact, this is why we're doing all of this work with the Constitution Party and the National Liberty Alliance. You don't have to necessarily rely on the one-man team of Republic Review and Reclaiming the Republic, G.R. Mobley. I'm actually working with these other organizations, and we are doing everything we can to be ready for this massive response of people this coming summer. We know that everybody realizes and everybody is in panic mode. And we want you to be able to start engaging as soon as you're ready and able. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I mean, that's out there. You have the ability to get engaged. Anyway, this next one, this basically points to the UN that, you know, not only has the UN been involved in divisiveness, because they've already come out in supporting supposedly reparations. They do not care about our Constitution reparations are a violation of our Constitution, because you can't pass a law that basically says something that you were doing before is illegal. You can't assume or charge somebody for committing a crime when it wasn't a crime. It may have been a crime against humanity, and we view it today, but at that point in time, we had to shape this. Now, this goes back to the whole argument of why at August 22nd, when Georgia and the Carolinas came up and said, we're going to leave if you're going to make us get rid of slavery, they should have let them go. They should have let them go, because the Constitution would have been far better eliminating slavery and saying that all people would have been free in the United States of America, period. And we wouldn't have had to fight that civil war. But because these men made a political compromise, for whatever reason, we atoned for that sin by basically a half a million deaths, more than that, in purging this process from us. And so, if you understand the sanctity of the spilling of blood and atoning for sins, you can understand that, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing else we can do. I mean, all these people died. Anyway, so the UN has been playing this divisive role in supporting reparations, and now they're in a power play designed to assume a greater role in our justice system and our overall governance, based on what they're doing today. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, a former Socialist Party Prime Minister in Portugal, called for a global coordinated action against the grave danger caused by white supremacy and neo-Nazi. Well, where are those terms actually being applied today in any fashion or form? It's being applied here in the United States. And he's basically saying that these movements exist. Now, you can get labeled as a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist because you support the Constitution. The Northwest Grassroots, good friends of mine, who are not neo-Nazis and they're not white supremacists, but they got label lynched by the local sheriff in Spokane County, this scumbag who basically supports all of these progressive agendas and does everything he can to suppress any type of righteous, conservative, constitutional movement. And he actually goes out and talks about people that support, like the 3%ers and so forth. This guy's a divisive person, and I can't believe that the Republican, there are people called Republicans that support him, and supposedly he was elected by Republicans. Anyway, bottom line, this Mr. Gutierrez, this now General Secretary or Secretary General of the United Nations, said that these movements are a transitional threat and the number one internal security threat in several countries. And you know, he's pointing to us. Come on. We already know that they have their eyes set in toppling and getting ready, because once they create the next crisis, the reset, well, guess what? They're ready to come in and support Biden to whatever degree he needs. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, I'm here to tell you, we can stop this. We can stop this by demanding your state legislatures go into an emergency session for republic review. They need to pull their power and their big britches up and stand up to the federal government. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org.
takeaction.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.